Everybody, I'm Catherine Bass, and I love it when things come together because we have heard about how to work at the neighborhood level around active living initiatives. We've heard about a big city strategy. We've heard about how a national organization can support state level work. And now I'm going to talk about the role of a statewide entity in advocate mobilization around active living work. Again, my name is Catherine Bass. My colleague Michael Huber is in the audience and may provide color commentary. He's got his hand up back there, but I'll get us going. I have no relationships to disclose, and neither does he. All right, well, I'm with Blue Cross and Blue Shield of Minnesota, and just a little brief context setting. Blue Cross Blue Shield of Minnesota is the largest health plan in Minnesota. We insure almost 3 million members and have 3,000 employees. We are a not-for-profit company, as is every health plan that operates in the state of Minnesota, as required by our state legislature. I work in the Center for Prevention, which was established in 1998 using proceeds from the tobacco settlement dollars that Blue Cross won, along with the state of Minnesota. Ours was the landmark tobacco lawsuit. It preceded and paved the way for the master settlement agreement and all other successful lawsuits. So it's a pretty unique situation that we have in Minnesota and one that we're all very proud to be a part of. And with those proceeds, we are leading a long-term statewide public health initiative, and our goals are to tackle the root causes of diseases. We focus on reducing tobacco use and exposure to secondhand smoke, improving the rates of physical activity and healthy eating in order to reduce obesity and the burden of chronic disease in the state. And we apply best practices as evidenced by the scientific base and recommended by authorities like the Centers for Disease Control. And we very early on realized that we would need to use a comprehensive approach and really pull all those levers of change to make the healthy choice the easy choice. And the agreement with the state for our proceeds dictated that the lion's share of the settlement proceeds had to be dedicated to health improvement on behalf of all Minnesotans and not just Blue Cross members. So while we ensure a good portion of Minnesotans, our work really does focus on all Minnesotans. We have to spend down our settlement dollars over a period of 25 years, so we really do need to make durable, sustainable changes that are going to outlast our attention to the issues. And our goal is really to change the cultural norm in the state, to make a physically active lifestyle part of daily life, so what a lot of us here have been talking about this afternoon. And we know that in order to do that, we really need to focus our efforts on policy systems and environmental level change, which I have a shorthand for as PSE. We refer to that quite a lot in Minnesota. We still pursue more traditional programs and events, but strategically and in support of policy goals. And I'll talk a little bit more about that later. So the elements of effective policy systems and environmental level change for us really means that we have to sustain our effort over time and have patience with this. It's a marathon, not a sprint, and we started our work in earnest in about 2004 and are keeping after it. And we also realized that we really have to work at multiple levels concurrently in order to build the political will, the staff knowledge and capacity, and the public support for the kinds of policy and environmental level changes that we're seeking. We had to think about what could we really do to catalyze efforts and action in local communities and realize that we would have to work at all of these levels. And we identified four key ingredients of advocate development or movement building. And I'll go through each one of these, but I do want to say that this is not necessarily rocket science. A lot of these strategies are things that many people think of and use, but applied in combination with each other, we have found a very potent mix that's led to some key successes. So convenings is a key ingredient, conferences that either we stage or host, or by injecting agenda items into other conferences and meetings, and by fostering issue-focused organizations and coalitions. Recruiting grasstop supporters at many levels, providing direct funding to communities and technical assistance, and then communications and strategic events, both that are advocate-oriented and also for the general public. And by applying these strategies in combination, we've been able to build a substantial core of professionals and decision-makers who are engaged in the conversation around more walkable and bikeable communities in the state. So this is an example of our first key ingredient, convenings. So we are involved in a lot of coalitions and provide support for those coalitions and partnerships in the state. There are a few examples here. The Minnesota Complete Streets Coalition, we were a key founding partner of that group. We convene the Minnesota Safe Routes to School Partnership, and we have hosted a ton of meetings in the state. We have hosted them ourselves. The yellow picture up there is one of our earliest conferences around the health implications of community design. Over time, we found that to be quite a lot of work, and as many of you probably know. And so over time, we have transitioned to providing support for the conferences and meetings of other groups that are key stakeholders in active living work. So for example, the American Planning Association Minnesota chapter, we often provide support for their conferences, and that way we are able to influence selection of keynote speakers and tracks throughout the meetings. We've done this for city engineers. We've done it for the Elementary School Principals Association. It's a very effective strategy, one that we now affectionately refer to as hot dish. At least in Minnesota, that's what we call it. Many other people call it casserole. But it's this idea where, you know, you bring a dish and then you get to partake in what's going on in the broader group. So moving on to our second key ingredient, which is really grasstops engagement. We have worked with the Urban Land Institute in Minnesota, who convenes a group called the Regional Council of Mayors, and this allows us to exert influence at the mayoral level. This is what we think is a fun picture. We also, sometimes serendipity happens, as my colleague Michael likes to say, and early on in our work, we started a mass media campaign to encourage people to be more physically active, and this is the beloved icon of that campaign who does a really funny dance in a doctor's office waiting room to show that you can get physical activity everywhere. And he's leading a walk with three mayors of three metro area cities. So we have done a lot of work to engage mayors in the community. We do fun things like this, but we also do quite serious things like bringing in underwriting speakers to come into those meetings and address the mayors on key topics that they're concerned about in economic development and community redevelopment. We also work with an assortment of state agencies through our Department of Health that convenes the Active Living Advisory Group. And so that allows us in our work to talk with the Department of Health, but also those interdisciplinary partners that are so critical to implementing active living work, like the State Department of Transportation and the Department of Natural Resources and many others who have a vested interest in this work. Our third key ingredient is providing direct funding and technical assistance to communities, and this shot is of the state of Minnesota, and to show you where we have funding through our program called Active Living Minnesota. We wanted to provide funding to communities so that we could hold up local models of communities having success with policy systems and environmental level work and public engagement around becoming more walkable and bikeable. And so through a competitive process, we offered funding to a variety of communities. We intentionally selected a mixture of communities across the state. Here in this area, that's the Minneapolis and St. Paul metro area, and so we did select two of the more populous counties. Hennepin County is the largest county in the state, includes the city of Minneapolis, and I think there are almost 2 million people in this county alone. We also selected regional hubs like Bemidji. Clay County is where the Fargo-Moorhead area is, Rochester-Olmsted down here. These are in outstate Minnesota, and while they're regional hubs, the rest of the area is quite rural. And then we also selected two small cities, Pipestone and La Crescent, both of which are right around 5,000, so that there would be models for their peers, and that no one in the state would be able to say, well, gosh, there's no community like us engaging in this kind of work. It was important to select a mixture of also lead agencies. So some of the communities are led by their planning departments, or some of the funding is led by their planning departments, some by public health, some by local not-for-profits. We really wanted to create an array of communities to hold up. And outstate folks can feel quite left out because so much attention and resources are typically directed toward the metro area. So it was important to pick communities in greater Minnesota as well. The funding and technical assistance has been really critical. In order to allow staff time to attend to active transportation and zoning matters. The funding's allowed local communities to be able to do that. The funding also allows us to be able to underwrite workshops and trainings for those communities to bring in nationally recognized experts. That has been kind of a high octane strategy for communities. It really helps to build public support and enthusiasm for this kind of work. And additionally, with our technical assistance, we've been able to provide statewide trainings for interested professionals and advocates. For example, in early 2012, we'll be hosting an Open Streets event training. How many of you are familiar with Open Streets events, Ciclovias, Car Free Sundays? Where you close down the street, it's an accessible strategic event, unlike a 5K or a marathon, which is really for an elite group of very already fit people. An Open Streets event closes down the street for everyone to use and to engage in multimodal transportation options. It helps people reimagine streets as a place for people and not just for cars. And it very much supports the policy goals of communities. The fourth key ingredient, communications and strategic events, both directed at advocates and at the general public. I've used this picture because we knew that there were individuals in communities scattered around the state that were trying to do work, planners, public health folks, trying to do work around making themselves more walkable and bikeable. And I imagined them like this pedestrian, sort of alone and blind in a hostile environment, and feeling like they were the Lone Ranger trying to do this work. And we really felt like it was important to try to, even virtually, connect those folks so they knew they weren't the only ones in Minnesota, even if they were way up in, or way out in Willmar, that there were others that were trying to do this work and provide them with support. So we developed our Minnesota Active Living Network and deliver an e-newsletter twice monthly. There's not a lot of original content. It's mostly reprints of local news stories, and it's tightly focused on the domains of active living, so transportation, land use, parks and recreation, schools and work sites. We don't cover articles on personal fitness and wellness because I think that's a really slippery slope. It's hard to get people shifted to thinking about physical activity through transportation, utilitarian physical activity. We do cover recreation, but we try to keep it tightly focused on active living. And it's hyper-focused on Minnesota. You'll see in every issue shows visually the stories that we're covering around the state, so people can immediately look at it and see, okay, it's not just about the metro area, it's about all parts of the state. Additionally, strategic events. We've talked about our commitment to policy systems and environmental level change, and early on I think we sort of focused on that to a fault and a little bit looked down our noses at events and programs. But more recently we've come to see strategically focused programs and events as a really important opportunity to build public support and deliver key messages around multimodal transportation and policy change. So this is an example of an Open Streets Minneapolis event that just happened recently that we were a sponsor of. Some additional information about norms changing. We also are one of the key sponsors of Nice Ride Minnesota, which is one of the nation's largest bicycle sharing programs that just launched in 2010. Yeah, 2010. And it's been incredibly successful in Minneapolis, and it's now expanding into St. Paul. But most folks know what the green bikes are, and that's been a great contributor to cultural norm shift. So key successes. Well, we did have a state-level complete streets policy passed in 2010. We have 19 local resolutions and policies across the state, and we add to that arsenal quite a lot. Seems to happen every few months. Our active living network has grown from about 140 members in 2009 to 400 plus members now in 2011. We have two communities hosting annual Open Streets events and more to come in 2012. So in closing, my major points are to leave you with, to keep at it, that this kind of work really requires sustained effort and attention over time. It's very important to work horizontally across discipline in active living work. That is a core part of active living work, to work public health, what we call non-traditional partners, but public health, planners, engineers, all those folks, but also vertically among, and really to identify those strategies that will help you engage people at different levels, grasstops and grassroots. Not to neglect events, that strategic events paired with consistent and key messages will help to build that public support and political will for the policy systems and environmental level change, and to help those doers in local communities feel like they're not alone. And that's it for me. So I'll take questions at the end here.